Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
We're going to read from the Word of God, and this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi, and he planted this church 11 years prior to writing this letter. And the thing that comes out of him, that exudes from him, is this gratefulness for who this church was, that they have such kindness to him. And it's like they knew how to host him when he was there with them, but they also knew how to love him when he was far away. They knew how to be generous. They knew how to pray for him. He was just so enthused with who they were, and they partnered with the work that he was doing. And one of the things he really prayed for their church was, he said, I pray for your love to abound more and more in knowledge and insight. And I love that he's writing this letter, this gushing letter, this lovely letter that he begins with, and he's writing it to them basically under house arrest. So he's stuck where he is. He's stuck in these circumstances, but he looks to this church and just is so grateful for the fact that they're still partnering with him. So this isn't him writing a letter while he's on a break from ministry. He's gone to, like, I don't know, the Bahamas or something. It's not that he's in the middle of, like, the ministry. He's actually planted and stuck in this situation. And his letter isn't even, I'm in trouble, send more money, right? It's not that, okay? Who has a teenage kid or something and loves when your kid wants more money out of you? I'm sure you adore those moments, right? But he's actually just wanting to love on the church. And he says, I can see the potential of your church. You've already got it. You've already got a form of it, but I believe there is more to unpack and more to be unveiled through you, that your love can abound more and more. And see, the thing is, I have been a Christian for 26 years. Some of you have been a Christian longer than me. Some of you have been a Christian shorter than me. If my Christian age, like the 26 years old, was in a physical embodiment, he would probably be off getting married right now, wanting to have kids, or deciding he's going to blow all his money on a trip around the world if my Christianity age was a person. But over the course of being a Christian, I've been a part of many churches, and the Bible refers to the church as the bride, right? The bride is meant to be beautiful. The bride is meant to be stunning. A bride usually has their hair done, their makeup done, they're wearing an immaculate dress, and they show up for the groom and they honor the groom with themselves and with their presentation. And the groom honors the bride in the same way too. And so there's this beautiful picture of the church being a bride. But there's also times where the church doesn't look like it should, where it's like the church, if the church was a bride, it's like turning up to the aisle in track pants, right? And that's not very honoring of the moment. That's not a lot of thought. I don't know. And sorry to offend anyone who did turn up to their wedding in track pants, okay? Just keep that to yourself. But people have had experiences with churches which aren't so good. People have experienced hurt within churches. People have experienced messiness within churches. I even prayed for a lady a couple of weeks ago in one of our campuses, and she came out the front and she had tears in her eyes, and she was saying that formerly she was a part of a different church before landing at this one, and there was just a lot of messiness and hurt there. And as I was praying for her, because she's obviously a little bit scarred from the whole experience, I just thought while I was praying, this isn't how it's supposed to be. The church is meant to be beautiful. The bride is meant to be radiant. How did it become this? How do we experience this? And I've even experienced it myself, where I've been a part of churches across my 26 years where it's just not right. It's just not good, because the church is meant to be a place of healing, not a place to be healed from. It's meant to be a place of refuge. It's meant to be a place that when you come in, you can go, you can breathe again. That's what the church is supposed to look like. And we haven't already always got this right. You know, I even wish that, you know, as they start that verse we read in Philippians 1, it starts with him saying, I thank God every time I remember you. My hope, my wish is that when you remember King's Church, it brings joy to you, that there's actually happiness. There's not like a growing dread or I can't even think about them. But I thank God every time I remember you. That is what I would love to see, right? I would hate for the enemy to, like, let's say on a Sunday morning, people are springing up and he goes, oh, wait, where are those people going to church? Oh, where are they going? We have to stop them from going to church. Oh, wait, they're going to King's? Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's okay. They can go there. That's okay. King's is inoffensive. They don't have any faith. They're not going to shift or change any of my plans. It's totally fine for them to go there. That is not what the church should be like, right? The church should be a force. The church should be radiant. The church should be beaming. The church should be a place of refuge, of hope, of strength. The church should be something that solidifies people's faith. And you know what? The church, when it's like that, the church is a weapon. It's a weapon. And we're talking about weapons of warfare. That's been our theme, our series over this month. And we've talked about the church being a weapon, like the prayer being a weapon, declaring being a weapon, the name of Jesus being a weapon. You're going to hear a good one from Scott Blakemore in a couple of weeks on that. And we talk about all of these things to equip you that when you're in the war, when you're in the battle, when you're fighting for some things, that actually the Lord wants to come alongside you. And he reminds us, actually, I've equipped you with certain things. And one of them is the church. That's what's important. There's a parable of a seed being sown into different types of soil. And it speaks of the rocky ground among thorns, the shallow soil. And it says those get scooped up or those wither and die. But when there's good soil, it multiplies. When we find ourselves in good soil, we multiply. And so my encouragement to us today is let's be the good soil. Let's actually cause and the church to shine and be beautiful and be all it can be. And when we catch that, we are such a threat to what the enemy wants to do. That he's like, I don't want them going to King's. That's going to disrupt some things for me. I don't want them getting there. But when we come to church and we are the church, we don't just do church, but we are the church, something happens. Amen? 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 Yeah, good. Just waking you up a little. I won't make you say amen all the time. So I've called this message the abounding church because I believe God wants his church to abound, that we abound in love, we abound in so many things. And I want to unpack these with just a couple of points. And when we do this, we become a weapon against what the enemy wants to do to us. And the first thing is when the church abounds, it has direction. It has direction. So last week in the 10:30 a.m. service, I announced to you all that we got a puppy named Milo. Just joy of my heart. Actually last week I got in trouble from our AV person because she's like, you should have put a picture up. So here's a picture of him, okay? If we can put it up. That is Milo. He's a miniature dash hound. And so our kids have been begging to get a dog, so we finally relented and allowed them to get a dog. Jess's parents brought the dog from their hometown alongside its sister, which they were adopting, brought it to the Gold Coast for us. And the two dogs had two very different personalities. So Millie, the girl dog that wasn't ours, was like a tornado. She would get into everything. She would jump at your face. She was just crazy. But Milo was like this sweet-natured, soft kind of dog, very quiet, all good. So we were very excited when Millie was going to go back to the hometown and we would just have Milo because Milo is such a good boy, right? So this is what we discovered, or more like Milo discovered, in the weeks since they've gone. Toilet paper rolls are fun to unfurl and drag all around the house. That if you jump on the clothes hamper, it scrunches just enough that you can reach the clothes and chew on them. That anything on the ground is fair game to chew. That if you get anything you really shouldn't have, it's best to race under one of the couches where your owners cannot reach you and stop you from destroying it. That you do not need to do your business outside when there are some wonderful new rugs in the house to do them on. Yes. The list is actually longer and quite extensive, but who's been in the puppy phase before? Yes. Give me advice later, guys. I'm struggling, okay? I need your help, right? So when I get home, and home is meant to be this refuge, this place where I just chill and put up my feet, and I'm like, ah, this is good. When I get home, I hear, Dad, Milo stole this. Dad, Milo did an accident in the living room. Milo is trying to eat Riley's hair. Milo did another accident. No, not the same accident you just cleaned up. Another one. Can you go clean it up? It's just all the time. It is chaotic. It is crazy. And all the cat people in the room right now are probably feeling so smug, right? Who's a cat person in this place? Yes, you may convert me. You may convert me. So now I come home and it's like I have to try and hone in the destruction of Milo. It's like I'm on my feet all the time trying to just get him to just focus and stay still and do the right thing. And eventually we shall win. We shall prevail. You know, in Luke 7, we see this moment of Jesus reclining. He's been invited into the home of a Pharisee who had been invited into his home after Jesus had done so much work. He'd been praying for people, seeing eyesight restored, hearing restored, people healed. He's been doing a lot. He's been out warring. And he comes to this place, and it's supposed to be a place of refuge. And they snub him at the door. They don't even give him the niceties you would expect for someone of his stature. They don't wash his feet. They don't greet him. They don't anoint him. And so he makes his way to the seat, which is reserved for an elder. So Jesus is kind of unconcerned. But there's a sinful woman who is standing there watching all of this unfold. And she's like, no, I'm going to change this. This is not okay. And so she starts crying and weeping over him to wash his feet and using her hair to clean it. She is anointing his head with oil. She's kissing his feet. She's like, I'm going to shift this thing. Something is going to change here. And so Jesus then celebrates her, affirms her, and returns the favor of everything she has poured out upon him. Jesus had been putting in a lot of work. And she changed the atmosphere of that room. She changed it. They weren't happy about it, but she did it. You know, for our church, we have a few cultural values. Do we know what they are? Very good, Ash Rogers. Pay rise for you. Faith, hope, and love are the cultural values of our church. There are things that we live out. And the reason we do that, faith, is because we want to be faith fillers. We want to change the atmosphere of the room, any room we're in, not just this room, right? Hope. We want to bring hope to people who are hopeless, that if they are lacking in hope, they can borrow some of ours. And love. We want it to be evident that we have love for people, that we're not just here to serve ourselves, but we're here to serve others. And the thing we don't always realize is there are people who come to this church and they're coming in from the war. They're warring. They're warring against their health. Things are happening in their family. Things are happening with their kids. Things are breaking down and they come in here. And this needs to be a place where they can put up their feet and recline. Are you with me? But in order for the church to be a refuge, faith, hope, and love need to be active. It's one thing for us to do church. It's another thing for us to be the church. You know, Paul speaks of the Philippi church abounding in love, but there's a caveat to that statement. He says, not just abounding in love in general, but that their love may abound in knowledge and depth of insight. He wanted to hone it in. He wanted to direct it. So not just a general love blanket statement, because when we talk about faith, hope, love, you've probably heard that a million times before. And you're like, faith, yeah, hope, yeah, love, yeah. But what we need to do as a church is we need to take those things and we need to move them from being a generalized thing. We need to move them from the general into the specific. That actually when we talk about hope, how am I actually going to bring hope to a person? Not just hope in general. How am I going to love on someone this week? How am I going to bring faith in the room? You know, when we stir up in this room and go, yeah, lift our faith. Am I going to be one of those people bringing it? Or am I going to keep it in the general? Because when it's in the general, I don't have to take responsibility for it. I can allow someone else to do it. You might not even be aware of this, but in our church, we have this awesome legendary team called the Care Team. They're like secret squirrels. They're ninjas in the church, right? We handpicked some people in the church that just had something on them where they just love people and they love the house of God. And these people, you might see them come up the front and they pray for people and you might think they're just the prayers. But what happens is during the week, the care team are on the lookout to love on the church. When they hear that someone has come down, has got cancer, they will be at the hospital with them. When they hear that someone is having trouble at their home, they will sometimes organize to get those kids picked up from school and brought to their house, and they'll bring them a meal. They're like, how can we be the hands and feet of Jesus practically? How can we specifically do that? And I'm so blessed seeing the group chat of our team. They have a little group chat together on WhatsApp where they talk amongst each other and mobilize and being like, hey, we need to do this for this family. Can we do that for that? And it is so wonderful to see the church being the church. It is so wonderful to see love expressed and faith expressed and hope expressed. The church is at its most radiant, at its most wonderful when we surround each other in faith. The church is at its most radiant when someone is out of hope and we bring it. The church is at its most radiant when love is deeply felt. That is when the church is a weapon to the enemy's plans. It's when we get specific. If he can keep us in the generalized space, not much gets accomplished because we just kind of allow it to be someone else's responsibility. Oh, that's really bad that that happened to them. I hope someone gets around them. But when we as the church actually take responsibility and say, you know what? I'm going to play my part. I'm going to do something. Something happens. Amen? I've only been a part of this church for a year and a little bit. And even over the past year, it's been exciting to see the community grow and the relationships grow and grow deeper. And I believe God has more and he's building on his church from week to week and making it stronger and stronger. And it's when we all wake up and go, I want to play my part in this. I don't want to just be a person who comes in the door, sits down and leaves, but actually I want to play my part in what God is calling me to do at this church. You know, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So my challenge to us today with this point is, how today, tomorrow, or this week, are we going to be a weapon to the enemy's plans by activating what God has called us to do in this church? By being the church, by entering in and leaning in towards each other and allowing ourselves to be used by God. Are you with me, guys? Yeah? The second thing is, when the church abounds, it grows stronger. It grows together. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 9, it says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. Here's what I love that's being addressed is some at the time were saying, I come in the name of Paul, or I come in the name of Apollos. But he was trying to say, we're all working together in this. We're all in this. And so don't just think that you can do it yourself. Actually, we all do it together and God brings increase, right? And you could even take it a step further with our lives where we sometimes think, I can go this alone. I can do this alone. I don't need anyone around me. I don't need co-workers in my situation. I just need me because my situation or what I'm going through, I don't want to share it. It's awkward. It's hard, right? We've all been there. A number of years ago, when I was a teenager, I first met my wife, Jess, before she was my wife, right? And it wasn't like we got married on the same day. And where I met Jess was in McDonald's. We were both working at McDonald's part-time at high school. Great place to work, right? Free fries, all those good things. The funny thing is, I worked many, many shifts with Jess where I was the one literally grabbing the bag of junk food and bringing it to Jess to hand out to the customers. She does not remember me at all. She doesn't. It's so weird. So I said, I literally worked with you every single shift, like being your offsider. And she's like, I got no recollection, right? And the interesting thing was, at that time, I was a very tall, very, very skinny and lanky, awkward kid, right? With like acne and everything like that. Like not the catch of the week, okay? Not the fine specimen you see standing before you right now. And so, thanks, Jen. I really appreciate that encouragement. And so if you jumped in a time machine and went back to talk to Jess and said, Jess, you are going to be marrying Sean Casey, she would first say to you, who? And then the follow-up response would probably like be like a growing dread of her future, right? She's like, this is not how I pictured my future going. But what ended up happening was I got a little bit older, filled out a little bit more, wore some nicer clothes, went to Bible college. And as I was in Bible college, I kept up conversation with her because we actually connected and I was talking to her. And so as I was finishing college and I had a friend who just come from where she was living, just visited there, who knew both of us. And he visited me in Sydney and he said, hey, so did you land any girls in Bible college? Were there anyone on the horizon? And I said, oh, well, no, not really. I'm actually kind of interested in Jess. And he said, that's funny, because I literally asked her the other week when I was there, hey, are there any guys kind of you're interested in? And she said, well, actually, Sean's moving back in a few weeks. And I was like, you beauty, yes, yes, come on. And the rest is history, right? Got married, we've got kids, we've got a little puppy. Everything's great, right? But there's something about the awkward phase that we don't love, right? That's why I did not say, let's see a photo of me in my awkward phase. I was not putting that on the screen for you, okay? You're not going to have that point of reference. But there's something about awkward phases that are hard. Like when a plant is coming through the ground and its shoots are springing up, it's not quite what it's supposed to be yet. There's a struggle. Even when baby birds try to hatch out of eggs, there's a thing where they have to kind of push through and it cracks the shells and they're not quite what they're supposed to be yet. And the thing we forget is that sometimes our situations are actually meant to be shared. Those periods where we feel uncomfortable, like we can't win the battle, we're struggling, we're going through it. These are the times when we're actually supposed to bring it together to people we trust or bring it to the church and say, I need you to surround me. I need to grow with you in this. Maybe we have kept some things hidden and in the dark because we don't want people to know. Because we think if they knew, they would think, oh, we're not a really strong Christian. I've really been struggling with my faith lately. I've been really struggling to break through in these circumstances and we keep it in the dark. But I want to challenge you. What if it was meant to be shared? What if our situations and the things we're battling and the challenges we have, what if the seed of our circumstances are meant to be brought and someone else waters it and God brings the increase? What would happen if we did that? What would happen if we trusted? We can't make that mistake of going, it's just me and God. I remember a while ago, someone let me know the phrase, which is those who grow alone grow weird. Yeah? Iron sharpens iron, right? And maybe we're a bit dull and we need someone to come alongside us and sharpen us. The church can be a weapon when we come and we don't feel like we have to impress anyone. I don't need to impress you. I don't need to come in the door and put on church face and then just be blissfully unaware for 2 hours and then go back to my life and I still have to face the issues I'm facing. That is not how it should be. Church should be a place where I can come with my muck. I can come with my circumstances which are difficult and hard and not feel judged for it and not feel like I'm letting down the team by not having enough faith, right? But that by me coming and going, you know what? This is really hard. I can't do this alone. I've been really trying to do this alone and it's not enough. And that people would turn and say, you know what? I can do this with you. Are you with me? There may be a point where we come and we go, you know what? I'm struggling with my health. And someone says, you bring the seed, I'll bring the water. And let's believe for God to bring the increase. It's time we go from a church of individuals and a church where we're a community and we do it together. And the feeling where we allow people to do it together. In Hebrews 10 verse 25, it instructs believers to not give up on meeting together. And the reason he gives for that isn't so that we can worship for a few minutes. It isn't that we can hear a good message. It isn't that we can avoid the usher saying to us, gee, I haven't seen you in a while, right? It's not that. Why he says that is for us to meet together to encourage one another, to build courage in one another. The church is not tiny islands separate from one another. It's a community to belong to. What this verse in Hebrews is asking us is to be fully present and engaged. I heard it put this way. Church is the arm around a shoulder, praying together with tears. Let me help you carry that burden kind of gathering, the kind where no one is invisible and everyone is seen. I even love the story of the paralytic man on the mat and how he had his friends who climbed up the steps, took him up the steps, removed the tiles and lowered him down to Jesus with crude ropes. And Jesus looks at them and he doesn't say, because of the paralytic man's faith, he's healed. He sees their faith. When he saw their faith, it stirred something in him. There is something different about their faith. There is something good about it. We have to understand that unity, unity in purpose, unity in vision, unity in heart, that is so important because God blesses it. When the seed and the water work together, God comes along and says, this is healthy and this is good and this can grow. What if your thing right now is waiting on trust? That God wants you to trust. What if it's waiting on unity? What if it's waiting on something to be shared? What if it's waiting on an Aaron and Hur who is going to hold you, uphold you spiritually, and a Joshua who's down there working out all the practicalities? What if it's shared? Are you with me? Maybe you're in the middle of the warfare and you've done it alone and you're weary. I want to encourage you, it's time to arm up and arm up with the church, because the church is a weapon when we are the church. When we care, when we turn it from being someone else's responsibility to our responsibility, that we're like, I'm going to add my faith to your circumstances. Let's grow through this together. Let's get you through your awkward phase, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.